we are looking at an alternate route to reach from Pierpont all the way down to Pitcairn to the Lewis County line while we wait for the New York State DEC to finish the recreational management plan for the Grass River and Tule Pond easements. This route will add another 60 miles to our existing trail and put us up to 175 miles of trail open for multi-use trail. We were in 6 communities originally. We'll be adding 5 additional communities, including the town of Pierpont, the town of Canton, the town of Herman, the town of Edwards, and the town of Pitcairn. The whole point of this multi-use trail is to bring business into all these communities, and now we'll be reaching out to 11 of our communities in St. Lawrence County once this trail is connected to Harrisville, hopefully as of this summer. I added my action plan into your cloud to let you know where we are in our position and what we've worked on and where we proceed from here. We've completed the seeker on the route. We've GPSed the trail, and now I'm starting my meetings with the towns to identify the roads that we need and the local laws that will be needed to open this segment of the trail. I did give you also a list of all the roads in each of the communities that we'll be using, so as legislators in those districts, you'll know what we'll be requesting in these towns as we go to the town board meetings. And I do hope for your support at those meetings also as I proceed going to each of the meetings. This multi-use trail, this alternate trail, is a great way for us to get across the county, but I do want to remind you that we still want to press forward with our original route that does go through the Grass River and Tule Pond easements, and I'll hope that the legislators will help us to try and proceed with that connection also as we move forward. Our plan is to have this route open by this summer. We do have to build trail from Browns Bridge through to Butternut Ridge Road, and down in Pitcairn we'll be building the trail's there, but we want to make it safer, and we'll be developing the trail a little bit more from Goose Pond Road up to Route 3 and Route 3 through the Adirondack ATV Club. So we've got a little bit of trail work on each end of the trail, and the rest of it are all town roads, seasonal roads that will be connecting us through the trail system. We're building ATV parking areas, and we've got a couple that are already in the map, as you see, but we might be adding a couple addition parking areas. We're working on those right now, and we will be using the county parcel that you'll see marked out by Herman. That will be a parking area and possible ATV trails. We're going to get on that parcel in the spring and just see what's on the parcel and what we might be able to use. So we feel very excited to be able to connect from Franklin County through St. Lawrence County to Lewis County. It's all about the tourism dollars and how we can get these spreading through our county. I just took my first long weekend off since I started this job, and I went to Pittsburgh, New Hampshire, and I met with the ATV Club and the Snowmobile Club up there this weekend. It's a community of 890 people, and the Snowmobile Club has 14,000 members because everyone that goes up to there to ride registers their snowmobile and joins that club. And that dollar volume gives them so much money to be able to groom and maintain those trails. The other exciting part about their community and their state is that the state is the one that have developed most of those roads and access points, and the clubs themselves really only have to groom and sign the trails. The majority of the maintenance is done by the state, so it was very interesting to see how other states do it compared to New York State. New Hampshire, Maine, and Vermont have a wonderful internetworking system, and that's what's really made the dollar volume up there. The amount of restaurants, the amount of hotels and motels that are in that area because of the volume of people coming in to use these ATV and snowmobile trails year-round is simply amazing. I hope to bring more of that to St. Lawrence County as we get our route developed across our county, and we can also enjoy those tourism dollars coming into our area. I also left you a snowmobile map on each of your desks so you could see that our snowmobile map was completed again this year. The ATV and the snowmobile community try to develop, build our trails, sign our trails, maintain our trails, and market our trails. So we try to be a one-man band when it comes to our operation, and we do all we can to make it user-friendly and to make it award-winning to each of the communities that it connects through. So I appreciate all the support from the county to help us make this happen, and if anyone has any questions, I'm willing to answer them. But it was pleasure.
Thank you for all the hard work that you do. It would be nice. We have everything that it takes to become a place like New Hampshire that you make it in, and where you drive and make it work for somebody.
Thank you.
Deb, you may not know the answer to this, but I see that the governor has so many million set out for housing for the Thousand Islands and Adirondacks. We fall anywhere in that category? Have you gotten any wind about?
Unfortunately, I didn't see any dollars coming St. Lawrence County way. They are in Jefferson County and more in Franklin County, where there's some hotels being developed there. But I would love to see it in St. Lawrence County, too. I know we have Seavey's Lodge, it was just built last year by a private individual, and he is very much into recreation and tourism along with Seavey's Point, and I'd love to see more of that coming into our county.
Thank you. Any additional questions for Deb? All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Move on to the presentation of resolutions. I would ask for a resolution modifying the 2018 budget of the Department of Highways for Franklin Road Bridge over Big Sucker Brook replacement. Mr. Burke, second. Ms. Bell.
Yes, the Franklin Road Bridge in the village of Waddington was not included in the 2018 Highway Department budget because the DOT had indicated at the time that the federal funds were not available. In light of the water main break on the structure and some discussions with New York State DOT, they were able to shift some projects around within the department and move this project to the front burner to help address that. The village has done a temporary repair on the water main, however, the sewer and on the sewer main as well on the structure, and which was just a portion of the project, but I think it brought to light the fact that having the project sitting on the shelf for fully designed for 3 years may not have been as prudent as they thought it might be. So with this resolution, basically we're looking to take funds that from that remain or that are left over in the 2017 Highway Department budget. Right now I'm forecasting somewhere around the $800,000 mark that we will be in the black at the department, and taking $100,000 of that to pay the local share that would be for this project. And of course we'd need the $2 million in cash flow from the county to do that, but the $100,000 is for the local match. Typically the federal share is reimbursed within about 30-40 days and the state funds that will be quite a bit longer for that, especially on the initial set. It might be 9 months or better.
Any questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Ask for a resolution modifying the 2018 budget of the Department of Highways for Browse Road Bridge replacement. Mr. Burke, second. Second. Ms. Bell.
When I gave my presentation in last spring on the condition of various bridges across the county, Browse Road was one of the projects that I identified as something that we really need to get moving on. The structure from the substructure up to the primary beams and the decking are all in pretty serious level of deterioration. There's also some other additional issues why I would like to see this funded again with some of that money that we have in the 17 budget. It's because the utilities are very complex at this location, and we'll need to be working with the utility companies to work on a design over the next year just to get utilities relocated and start the design and procure some of the materials during the 2018 and then hopefully construct in 19. So by starting to fund this project in the 18 year, I can start with the utility relocations and design and procurement of some of the materials.
Any questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I would ask for a resolution authorizing the chair to sign necessary documents for the New York State Homeland Security and Emergency Services Public Assistance Program for the 2017 Lake Ontario flooding. Mr. Denisha, Mr. Lightfoot, Mr. Forsyth, Mr. Hooper.
Yes, in order to move forward with the FEMA paperwork necessary for the Ontario Lake flooding, we need to have the ability to have the chairman of the legislature sign some documents. Even though the role of the department was rather light as far as this, because there are no county roads right in close proximity to the St. Lawrence River, we did actually pick up the materials, empty sandbags from the State Emergency Management Office stockpile, and also provided a flatbed truck to the towns that were impacted so they could transport them once they were full. The flatbed truck was a better mechanism to move than dump trucks, which the primarily what the towns had, so they could use a forklift or whatever to load. And also, it was a smaller truck that they could get into areas better than a tractor trailer. So the truck seemed to fit the match. But that's so the revenue will probably be quite small, but it was necessary as part of a team effort.
Any questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
As for a resolution, changing gears here, authorizing to fill a temporary part-time heavy equipment operator position. Still on highway. Authorizing the chair to sign an agreement with the United States Department of Agriculture, Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, Wildlife Services for program reducing roadway damage caused by beavers. Mr. Eggers, Mr. LaPierre.
Over the last few years, we've used this service and found it very helpful. USDA has the ability to obtain the permits for the removal from DEC, negotiate with property owners, because quite often it's off the county right away where we would have to go and get the necessary agreements, and submit the reports that are necessary to the state. So this basically provides a lot of service for not a large fee. The New York State DOT, CSX, and some other agencies here utilize their services as well. So when they're out on their run around, they're actually being able to split their services between multiple agencies, keeping the costs affordable.
Any questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Now switching over to solid waste. Would ask for a resolution for authorization to fill a temporary part-time heavy equipment operator position in the solid waste department and modify the 2018 solid waste budget. Mr. Forsyth, Mr. Arcap, Mr. Burke, Mr. Akers.
Yes, this resolution is brought forward, as you can see in the one of the whereas is due to upcoming military leave, which is actually we do have a person on medical or military leave at this point, and we have held positions vacant due to our discussions that we've had regarding the department. So it's very right now we have our operations manager quite often filling in on the scales, drawing him away from other tasks that he should be assigned to. So I'm asking for a fill of a part-time heavy equipment operator for a three-month period, not to exceed a three-month period.
Any questions or comment? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Ask for a resolution modifying the 2017 budget of the Solid Waste Department for overtime expenses. Mr. Burke, Mr. Akers.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. Yes, our overtime amount, we did go over what the amount that was budgeted. However, in the 2017 budget, the department had $25,000 set aside in contingency for overtime. And most of this overtime was associated to basically holding positions vacant. We did our best to hold the overtime to a minimum. However, we did need to follow through and keep our operation functioning. And basically transferring the funds instead of from that contingency account, taking it basically from the line that would have funded those positions had we filled them, and putting them into the overtime line. So not taking any of that $25,000 contingency and taking it from within our own budget.
Questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
I would ask for a resolution authorizing the chair to sign letters of engagement to retain professional services for the appraisal and geological survey of the Jones and Laughlin J&L site in the town of Clifton. Mr. Denisha, Mr. Burke.
Thank you. As this board is already aware, for the past several years, we have been moving forward in a process to try to remediate the environmental contamination at the Jones and Laughlin site. It's approximately 54 to 56 acre site down in the town of Clifton. There have been discussions about trying to ascertain the exact value of the property, and I have secured the identities of two organizations, one a surveyor slash appraiser and one a geological surveyor. The appraiser would obviously be able to value the structures on the location as well as the land, with the geologist's help, who could take subterranean minerals and try to assess a value associated with those quantities. So combined, we're hopeful that they'll be able to provide us with a specific value for that property.
Questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I'd ask for a resolution urging the state representative of St. Lawrence County to pass legislation regarding pistol licensure to create uniformity among the various counties. Mr. Lightfoot, Mr. Akers, Mr. Denisha.
Thank you. As I believe this board is more than acutely aware, the issue of pistol licensure in St. Lawrence County has been of significant concern for a number of different years. Recently, that concern has morphed into something greater than it has been before. I say recently because on December 7th of 2017, the Judicial Conduct Board issued a ruling indicating that judges who acted as the initial licensing officer could not thereafter act as the revocation officer or revocation authority, because they would be usurping the power that is vested in either the district attorney or the county attorney to prosecute these matters. This has created a fairly significant problem, not only in our own county, which has had a judge that has acted as both the initial licensing officer, but also as the revocation authority, but in a number of other counties around the state. That led to a letter recently being issued by the president of the County Attorneys Association to all of the counties, indicating, unfortunately, due to the current state of the legislation, that we basically have to come up with a solution on our own and figure out how it's going to work. The decision seems to suggest that the counties need to decide whether or not a district attorney will be involved in prosecuting these matters, or the county attorney will be involved in prosecuting these matters. But in the discussions that I have had with our district attorney, as well as several of the other impacted department heads, it's become apparent that the district attorney is probably not the entity that will, in fact, be prosecuting these matters if that has to occur, which would mean that it would most likely fall to my office. While I'm more than willing to step up and handle the responsibility, the true solution would seem to lie in finding a change within the state legislation that currently governs the licensing process. The licensing process for pistol licensure in New York State is governed primarily by two different statutes. One is Penal Law Section 400, and the other is Penal Law Section 265, sub 10. Penal Law Section 400 lays out the grounds by which a license may be issued to an individual, but Penal Law Section 265, sub 10, defines who the licensing authority is. In 265.10, you'll see that in places in Long Island, in places like New York City, in small towns around Long Island, or even potentially down in the Westchester area, you go to the chief law enforcement officer to seek a license. You don't go to the judge. But in all of the other counties, in the areas that New York City likes to refer to as upstate, we all have to go to a judge to secure the license. That same judge, unfortunately, winds up in a situation where they also are the revocation officer. And as this decision has indicated, that just can't be. So what this resolution in front of you asks is that in the short term, that this body authorize me to take whatever legal steps are necessary to protect the interests of the county with respect to the revocation proceedings. But long term, it asks that you take a position regarding advocating for state legislative change, specifically suggesting that we have a degree of uniformity within the state so that those counties that currently can't use the chief law enforcement officers as the licensing authority would be authorized to do so.
Questions or comments? Mr. Akers.
Well, I think this is very important for us. Basically, in the last 10 years, that's what's been happening is the judge is the one who issues the license, and also the one that is doing the prosecution part of it, deciding whether or not somebody's license is suspended or revoked. The more important thing also is that we need a legislative change here in that will basically allow people their natural rights to defend themselves and to conceal and carry a pistol. So that's going to be part of our legislative amendment. We're already looking to address that with our legislators and representatives.
Any other? Mr. Lightfoot. Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Steve. I would ask for a resolution for authorization to fill a data collector position in the real property department. Mr. Burke. Second. Mr. Denise, Mr. LaPierre.
Good evening. We're here tonight to ask for a position of the data collector position to be filled. This person works closely with each town, many towns, especially ones that are doing reassessments and others that are not doing reassessments, and they assist assessors in data collection, photos, measurements, and things like that. So, and probably the better part of this position is the fact that a large percentage, 72%, is really covered by billing back to the towns. So,
any questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Would ask for a resolution approving and authorizing the chair to sign the North Country Regional Workforce Development Plan. Mr. Hooper, second. Mr. Burke.
I'll cut right to the chase. You've seen me here four or five other times over the last 6 or 8 months with yet another essentially procedural agreement that the chair of the county legislature needs to sign in order to continue the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act funding coming to St. Lawrence County. The quick course on what is attached to this resolution, the regional plan, is something that's is something that's not new, except that there's new requirements, and many of the new requirements in the act are looking to try to move to fewer workforce development areas. And for the moment, the three workforce boards seem to be pretty much in agreement. The three workforce boards around the North Country, all seven counties, seem to be in pretty good agreement that unless something changes in the way the system is funded and other changes as well, it's unrealistic to expect the kind of coordination which they're asking questions about. So if you had a chance, if you have nothing else to do, and actually read some of the document which all three workforce boards have passed and which all seven legislative bodies in the North Country's chief executive officer will have to sign, the document basically says the three or four items that you're looking to ask us to do in common, like have a common expenditure plan to provide supportive services like child care and transportation in common across an area as big as the North Country, isn't going to work. It might work in New York City, might work in Albany, but it's not going to work in seven counties in northern New York. So the actual regional plan that's in front of you is a plan saying we have taken a good look, and we have taken a good look, at some of the efficiencies and inefficiencies that would be put in place by trying to collapse some functions across workforce boards. So there's several places where we are working together and intend to continue to work together, and the others it simply won't work unless you give us more money. We don't say quite that last thing in the plan, but that's sort of the implied recommendation.
Any questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Can I say one thing?
I'm sure you can.
There's an XX in there that I didn't say. The XX on when the availability was December 17th. I meant to say that to begin with. In the resolution in front of you, it's not filled in. It was December 17th. Okay.
Would ask for a resolution authorizing the chair to sign a federal equitable sharing program agreement and annual certification report for the sheriff's office. Mr. Burke, Mr. Denisha, Mr. Lightfoot, Ms. Bell.
As the wording states, it's an annual resolution. A few years ago, they changed it to where to be able to get the chair's signature. Is required on the paperwork within a review by the county attorney before it goes in. So.
Any questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I would ask for a motion for a resolution modifying the 2017 budget for the Sheriff's Office for a budget modification to the fiscal year 15 SHSP Red Team Exercise Grant. Mr. Burke. Mr. Hooper.
If you remember, I was here just a couple of meetings ago with the reimbursement availability for the Red Team exercise, and what was failed to be included in it was the $381 for the fringe that comes on the overtime that we talked about.
Any questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I would ask for a resolution modifying the 2017 budget of the Sheriff's Office for Civil and Jail Overtime. Mr. Forsyth, Mr. Burke.
I was back earlier in the year to get some money out of contingency to go towards overtime. and that had been put away in contingency for this that purpose. And this is to come back to take the 17 budget and bring everything back so that and it's covered. If you look down through the figures that are there, well, the civil one, that's $35. There was never anybody money budgeted for overtime within civil, but they did incur a $35 cost, so that's just finding the money within that civil budget to cover that $35. And if you look down through, you'll also see that we found the money within our budget to cover the over on the jail overtime, too, within the jail's budget.
Any questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Yep. Jail count, I believe, is at 127, probably by this evening, with a couple of people making a trip here real soon and to bring that down. But jail count, everybody is back. There is no inmates housed out. And so our female population is a little more under control, and the overall jail count is down at this time.
All right. Thank you, Sheriff. I would ask for a resolution authorizing the chair to sign a contract with Trezetto Provider Solutions and modify the 2018 budget for community services. Mr. Burke, Mr. Akers.
Evening. Let me preface this by saying we have two resolutions here for the board to make decisions on, and both have to do with our billing department. We did a analysis from November of 2016 to October of 2017, and what we found was that we're significantly below the national average of reimbursement rates from third-party payers, those being insurances. So both of these resolutions are an attempt to remedy those losses, which are significant. Trizetto is a This resolution has to do with Trizetto, and that's a billing clearinghouse. Insurances give you a 90-day window to file claims for insurances and get reimbursed. Outside of that 90 days, you basically lose the monies. The three reasons why we have been losing monies in community services are untimely submissions of invoices to insurance companies, errors that result in denials, and the denials not being turned around in a timely manner and being resubmitted. So the clearinghouse, in addition to that, currently the only electronic submissions that we have is through Medicare and Medicaid. So Fidelis, which is a Medicaid managed care company, which is the biggest in St. Lawrence County, we're doing handwritten submissions and going through U.S. mail to get reimbursed. So we're trying to kind of bring things up to speed. So Trizetto is a, like, again, is a billing clearinghouse, and it'll allow us to catch and fix errors the same day. We'll be able to submit batch claims rather than submit them separately. It'll be a huge reduction in human errors. There won't be as much need to manually type in data repeatedly over and over and over again. And it will decrease the need, you know, to call insurances and be on the phone and try to figure out why certain claims were denied. So,
any questions or comments, Mr. Forsythe?
That's definitely concerning that we're not able to correct
it. I understand. Well, right now, well, currently we do not have an office manager, so she was partly responsible for that, and then we have two people in our billing department as well. But, you know, it's a two-pronged approach. You know, clinicians have to get their notes in on time in order for there to be timely submissions. So, you know, I've been working on that end of the problem as well. Correct.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. would ask for a resolution authorizing the chair to sign an amended contract with IMA Systems LLC to provide training, consulting, and oversight to reorganize the current billing functions and modify the 2018 budget for community services. Mr. Lightfoot, Mr. Burt.
All right. IMA is our current EHR provider, and electronic health record, I'm sorry. And that also has two prongs, one being the billing side, the other being the clinical side in which the clinicians do their notes. We are going to be converting to a new version of that where those two sides of the EHR will interface more readily. I think that will help. But along with that, we're asking IMA to provide on-site cleanup of the EHR to align, you know, the payers and with the clients more readily, to reset co-pays. Excellus, Blue Cross Blue Shield, you know, have multiple plans with multiple co-pays, and they would come in and try to consolidate that for more accurate and more speedy billing. They're also going to provide training to our billing department. The page that they submit to insurance companies is called billing header, and they're changing that as well, so we'll need training on that. And then also be trained on billing and remittance, and then some ongoing oversight after they do cleanup of our system. I think it's badly needed. I think the two staff that we do have do definitely need to be retrained. There's been a lot of changes in insurances over the years, and I don't think that we're up to date at this point. So.
Questions or comments? Mr. Forsythe.
Perform billing? No. You can carve out the whole billing to a contracted agency, yes. Yes. It was discussed, yes.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Would ask for a resolution authorizing the chair to sign a contract with the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services to accept a fiscal year 18 ATI pretrial electronic home monitoring grant and modify the 2018 budget for the probation department. Mr. Denisha, second. Mr. Burke.
So this is a two-part resolution. The good news is the state contacted me a few weeks ago and said that they've appropriated an extra $16,129 towards the electronic home monitoring grant. The money was to be used for equipment, training, travel, anything like that. Which brings me to the second part of this resolution. We took some of the money and we were able to take it from the base pay probation assistant we hired, and we were able to move in a 15-year employee to run the program. And they allowed me to use some of that money to pay for his salaries and benefits. Some of the money is going to be used for, they've agreed to buy a desk, a chair, a desktop computer with two monitors, an iPad, two cell phones, and a lockable storage unit for the electronic monitoring devices. So we're just asking that you guys accept that grant and allow for the budget changes.
Any questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Would ask for a resolution authorizing the chair to sign a contract with Recovery Solutions for electronic home monitoring services for the probation department. Mr. Denisha, Mr. Burke, Mr. Akers.
So the RFP came back. We are going with the lowest bid price-wise, and this company also met all of our criteria that we were looking for as far as the devices go.
questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you.
But as for resolution authorizing the chair to sign a contract with the city of Ogdensburg for hazmat team services. Mr. Forsyth, Mr. Hooper.
This is just to continue the contract that we formed with the city of Ogdensburg to provide the staffing and response capabilities for our county hazmat team. This will extend it out for another 3 years. And the money will remain the same at $17,500.
Questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. But ask for a resolution modifying the 2017 budget of the Office of Emergency Services for the fiscal year 16 PSAP grant. Mr. Burke, Mr. Peckman, Ms. Bell.
And this resolution is just to clean up the budget on this grant. We've actually closed it out, and this will move the money from the contractual line into the equipment line for our grant record keeping. And I've already done the budget modification with the state, but this is just to clean up the grant on our side.
Questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor? Opposed. Motion carries. Mike. But ask for a resolution modifying the 2017 budget of social services for service of process and child welfare transportation. Mr. Burke, Mr. Akers.
All right. This proposed resolution is to address higher than anticipated expenses relating to child welfare transportation, also service of process. It's within the department's budget.
Questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries.
Thank you.
As for a resolution financially supporting the efforts of the 2018 Bassmaster Elite Series in Waddington, New York, and modifying the 2018 budget. Mr. Peckman, Ms. Bell, Mr. Nisha. Was anybody here? Mr. Akers. We have a second for tabling. Mr. Burke, all in favor of tabling?
Aye.
Opposed? Table to the next finance committee. Thank you. Would ask for resolution modifying the 2017 budget for the Treasurer's Office for Tribal State Compact Funds. Mr. Burke, Ms. Bell.
Resolution is needed so that we can distribute a share of our excess, I guess, received over budget last year to the towns of Razor and Messina. We received approximately $32,000 more than budgeted for revenue, and our expense budget is built on our revenue budget. So if we exceed one, we have to exceed the other. So this will just allow us to come in that share of the checks.
Any questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. As for a resolution for authorization to fill a title searcher position in the Treasurer's Office. Mr. Burke. Second. Ms. Bell.
Sorry, I guess my microphone wasn't on. Excuse me. So we had a title searcher retire on and vacate December 15th. The title searcher is an invaluable resource to our foreclosure process. They do all the abstracting work on properties that are going up for foreclosure in the auction. They work year-round on the title searches in preparation for it. They also save us money by maintaining files on repeat properties that sometimes, you know, we have some come back every couple of years. So they can bring those records forward and get them ready again for a possible second sale. They're also an asset to the real property office, the planning office, the county attorney's office, as well as the Board of Legislators office, because we have an abstractor, that it's a title search or title, but they do abstracting. Because we have that availability in-house, they can do those services for our departments probably at less than us having to pay that out. They also fulfill some duties in the treasurer's office. They provide coverage up there. I have some notes on it. Sorry about that. They help by covering lunches, which is a small amount, but they handle tax payments. They do the window. They take phone calls and field all the customer needs at that time on the phone. They process school tax payments. During November, our office is really swamped with the school tax process, and both of the title searchers are, it's everybody except myself, the chief payroll clerk, and the deputy treasurer really involved in getting those processed on a timely basis. So it's really a valuable title for us.
Any questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Ask for a resolution modifying the 2017 budget of the treasurer's office for additional sales tax distribution. Mr. Forsyth, Mr. Akers.
This resolution is similar to the tribal resolution, although we haven't needed to do this the last few years. We exceeded our sales tax budget. Along with revenues that exceed budget, we have to distribute the shares to the municipalities within the county, too. So this will give us the authorization to process those checks. The total sales tax that we are over for last year is $2,670,890 over budget.
Any questions or comments, Mr. Forsyth?
We don't have a list of the breakdown because of the additional. We have the breakdown for this quarter. I mean, we.
Show how much.
We could get that if you need it. It's not something that we prepare. We prepare the quarterly distribution reports, and our checks will be going out February 5th for that.
Yeah.
So.
Mr. Roop.
I just want the clarification. The $2 million plus that were over budget, you're obligated to share with the county.
Yes. The same share. Well, if we were under budget, they wouldn't get what we projected we were going to give them.
That's where I'm coming.
Is all.
Okay. One-way street.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay. So the next item on the list, do I do that?
Auction.
Is the auction
Lively
foreclosure?
Discussion.
Okay. This is just discussion. So I believe you all received a sheet that has a history of property tax auctions, 2012 till present. I left that for you.
Is that on the list?
Okay. And I'm giving this in response, because Legislator Forsyth reminded me that I hadn't talked about the auction results for last year. We had prepared this document as opposed to maybe what you'd seen in the past. I think it's more information than has been previously given. So it's really just a summary document. I'll look at the 2017 column on the far right. If you start at the top, we're just listing the total parcels, the number of bidders, and the total parcels with bids. You can see that we've had actually a pretty decent trend of more parcels within the auction, and also more bidders registering every year. I thought that was interesting as well. And we have been receiving, there's an increase in bids every year also. Right underneath that, there's the total bids received on parcels and the sale of auction books. Those two items make up the subtotal below of the 1.364609. That's basically the revenues generated from those from the bids in the books. So the second section in the middle is the expense section. The expenses would be the outstanding receivables for the taxes that had been billed, and then some smaller items for advertising, rent, paying the auctioneer, and the auction books. There's special items at the bottom. This is just something that started in the last couple of years. So, and you've seen resolutions, I believe, authorizing us to can't think of the term I'd want to use. Well, I don't know that it's liens, but I think it's to sign agreements to work with the oil spill fund and the DEC last year, I think, or the EPA proceeds. So these are expenses on parcels that were had special treatment for environmental purposes, and there's a cost along with that. So we had to split whatever the bid was received on those items. So for 2017, just taking these items roughly together, it's showing a net gain this year of $37,836.
Any questions or comments, Mr. Forsythe?
Don't have it in front of me to tell you the truth. I think that last time I looked, it was in for 17. I think that it was around $20,000 left, but we had discussed adding another $50,000 to that out of the excess gain on sale account from revenues received last year related to this, because we exceeded our revenue budget for the tax sale. So the parcels that had a plus at the end of satisfying the taxes that were owed on them, if there was still an excess amount received for them, it goes to a current year revenue account. And our revenues for that account this year exceeded budget by $371,000. So that money would typically flow to fund balance, to unappropriated fund balance. Instead, we'll carve $50,000 out of that and put it into the fund so that we can use that going forward. Yes. Well, actually, that's part of my. I was just going to talk about that after with you, but we'll go over it now. Last week we sent out an RFP, and I believe we had 9 auction companies that we've sent to for some information on. We have a due date to have those back in mid-February, and that will hopefully allow us to bring a recommendation to the board for the March Finance Committee.
Okay. Mr. Burke.
The RFP was pretty detailed in what we are looking for, and we're asking them to come back to us and tell us what they'll be able to do it for, so that it will fit our process and how our timeline goes and everything. I know that, for instance, we talked about the company that came up last August, I think it was, and the ladies in my office had several conversations back and forth with them and really had good things to say about them and are looking forward to changing possibly how we run the whole auction itself. But we felt that it'd be better to kind of open this up and see what's out there before we go with that. And I think we'll have to see what comes in and see how difficult it will be to determine which one's the better one. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Mr. Forsyth.
Yeah, the thing that I think is good about this sheet is we know how many bidders we have. Now, if we look at our trend for the last 5 years,
right,
we see if we really can produce what we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we were hoping.
The first year is going to be, that'll be a way out. I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? Do you have anything else for us?
Just a couple of, I guess, informational items I was going to share with you. Our external auditors were here January 2nd through January 4th for audit planning work for the 2017 external audit. They did some work on planning and internal controls, and they are scheduled tentatively to come back for the full audit June 18th through the 28th, with some time on the end if they don't wrap it up by then. But that is, I think, a full 3 weeks earlier than last year, and we'll be ready for them. So next is the State Comptroller's Office did a tax cap review of our 2018 tax levy in late December this year, and this month, in early January, I received an email from them stating that they had no findings. So that was good news, because we had actually had a tax cap reserve thrown in there to kind of, it's all new, so I guess we handled it correctly. I mentioned the RFP for the auction, and just briefly, in the future, I'll be coming in with an update to the ENRS policy resolution from 2008, just an update to make it reflect current practice on how we're handling it now. It hasn't really been revised since then. And we're also working on a bank reconciliation policy to bring later this spring or maybe summer for your review and hopefully adoption. That's it.
Anybody have questions or comments? Thank you.
Okay.
I would ask for a resolution authorizing the creation of two reserves from the 2017 budget for the purpose of capital project management and recognition of employee benefit accrued liabilities. Mr. Lightfoot, Mr. Akers, Mr. Bay, Mr. Uber.
So to echo, as the resolution describes, the efforts that this Board of Legislators has taken over the last 3 years, we believe that it's a time for recommendations for consideration by the Board of creating two reserves. Renee and I reviewed the 15 reserves that apply to counties, and sat down with the Fiscal Stability Committee today, the Audit Committee, to review why we have recommended the ones included in the resolution. They are a type capital reserve and employee benefit accrued liability reserve. So the reason for these two, as it relates to the operational budget of the county, is you'll all recall that as part of creating the five-year plan, that a capital reserve was created. However, that was budgeted annually and maintained in more or less a targeted contingency. So during the year, it requires, as you know, board action to appropriate that fund operationally to departments to provide for that targeted effort, whether it be PC replacement or purchase of equipment. And in this regard, the type capital reserve will do the same thing. It will require board action, but it will also annually provide a location for funds to be appropriated that won't roll over into the general fund balance. Mr.
Turner? As Ruth just covered, I don't know that I have an awful lot more to add. She's pretty thorough about it, but would like me to add more to it. I've been in full support of doing this. I think that we have, as far as speaking to the employee benefit accrued liability reserve, I think that we have an aging workforce, I guess I would say, and I think we will be seeing a lot of an increase in these expenses, and it would be prudent to set some money aside to help us with that, to help level out the spending. And it's the same thing with the type capital reserve. I think that we have a lot of work that we would like to see us be able to get done and some items addressed, and this will help us.
Mr. Forsythe.
Well, it requires board action, so that's a challenge sometimes. But I think, you know, there's nothing that I believe we can do that board action can't undo, right? So,
right.
For
yes,
future board action. So, annually, I budget in the capital reserve, as you know it, as well as set aside funds in a similar targeted contingency for employee benefit accrued liabilities. Also, when things like boarding out come up during the year, you may have to, like you said, in a tough budget year. So this year we had to take above and beyond the untargeted contingency of 500,000, and we ended up at 790 for that purpose alone. That doesn't take into account all the other things potentially, like overtime, that could go over. But what it does do is in the years where things are fine, it allows that to build when you allocate. And as the resolution describes, I will make a recommendation by July 1, consulting with the treasurer, to identify what funding levels these reserves should see. That will happen simultaneously with the recommendation from the Fiscal Stability Committee for the fund balance policy for the following year. So in that picture, you'll also be able to see how your fund balance is doing. If you're only at 0.25%, because that's what we can afford for the fund balance policy, that may be the time you change what's going into the reserves from the year prior.
You can there's two ways to actually add the money to the reserves also. You can budget to add to the reserves, which is, if we continue to target contingency money to set aside for it, that could be put right into the reserve at the budget time. And also you can do it as a result of operations. You know, the point of the reserves is actually they're there for a rainy day. So I think living in the tax cap, it could be tough a couple of years down the road. So this just helps you plan for those.
Anybody else?
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. But ask for a resolution modifying the 2017 budget for assigned council costs. Mr. Burke. Second, Mr. Peckman.
So this resolution is one that typically you are used to seeing in September and in October. We have increased the funding levels to indigent defense reasonably significantly, although this last year, I think we all know there was a higher number, at least, of need associated with indigent defense. And as a result of that, we're requesting that criminal not see a great gain, because we actually added more on the front end of that, but that family court, which is also in no shortage of indigent defense need, see an increase.
Any questions or comments? Mr. Lightfoot.
This due to cases going to attorneys?
That's what this pays for, yes.
Any other questions or comments? Mr. Akers.
The original budget has, for criminal cases, it has 260,000. I'm sorry, 380,000. For family court cases, it has 300,000. So that's exhausted before we get into this. And for appeals, which is the other area of indigent defense, there's 260,000.
So is there something
about this? That's a great question.
limited staffing in public defenders and conflict defender offices, but we work to make sure that the cases they can maintain, that they do. We also have a shortage of assigned counsel attorneys. So we are going as far as Oswego and Onondaga County to get attorneys to accept and represent cases in the county. We have a shortage of attorneys.
So the numbers line up. That would pay for us to actually have additional attorneys.
That would be difficult to calculate only because you don't know the cases that are going to come in and the conflicts that are going to arise. So certainly I could throw six people at this, but we still may have conflicts based upon how the cases come in and who the defendants are. That's a challenge.
Any other questions? How much of the overage was related to the big drug bust?
We could look into that and get you some information.
Hopefully a one-time thing, maybe. Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay, the next item, you should have on your desks a copy of the quarterly budget report. On the front page is a summary by department as compared to the same quarter last year. And then the pages that follow break down by category, so it separates into personnel, equipment, contractual, fringe benefits, and ultimately revenue to identify the county cost at fourth quarter. I will qualify the numbers in front of you by saying that fourth quarter numbers are just that. There are a number of adjustments that have yet to occur, including lag payroll. So the last payroll of the year has yet to be applied the way that the payroll falls with the calendar, for the calendar year. However, that being said, I'm certain that you're all looking at the bottom of the page to identify that we aren't that far from where we ended 2016 by these numbers. A difference of about $214,000, but to the positive of 4.5. When you look at pages, and on the back of that, so on the, they're double-sided, on the back of the first page, you'll also see the funds, how the funds performed, and that being both highway funds, solid waste. I would indicate that the number for solid waste has yet to apply many of the costs associated with payment to the county, and we reviewed that with the Fiscal Stability Committee this afternoon as well. The workers' comp and then the liability and casualty funds are captured there. So these numbers, by the time you see them from Renee after year end, even a soft close in April or in May, will look quite a bit different. All funds combined, you see on page 1 of 8, which is the second set of information broken down by department. Certainly many of you are more familiar with some departments than others, so you can flip through if you have any questions associated with that. I would point out that Social Services has a $31.3 million budget, came in 2016 at 29.8 and is looking right now at 28.8. Now, as I said, that will be adjusted by some of the year-end expenses, but that certainly helps out when we're looking at the bottom line. As Renee reviewed in the resolutions that you've approved, sales tax overperformed, occupancy tax slightly overperformed, and some of our smaller departments certainly came in under budget. So that helps. In the county administrator's budget is the contingency account. And I would just make mention that the contingency for 2017 was $2.29 million. And out of that, targeted, which certainly we start out the year with many areas targeted, I untarget $500,000. Targeted, we spent $184,312. And bearing in mind what I talked about with the sheriff's boarding out costs, untargeted, we spent $794,032. So some of these unanticipated amounts, such as overtime, when you see departments come through and they've been able to find it in their own budget, some of those dollars are then freed up for things like boarding out in this last year. So that totals spent for 2017 at the moment $978,000, which leaves $1.319 million left. And if you recall, the fund balance policy called for $1.1 million to be returned to the fund balance. So set aside the fact that there will remain some adjustments. The existing employee accrued liability sits in this as well, so when those are captured by department, it's not something that we budget for out in departments, but we target $300,000 annually to pay for that, and generally over the last 4 to 5 years, we've come in over that number.
So between retirements and departures and vacation payouts, vacation buybacks, things like that, that expense climbs. So I did want you to know that. I wanted to mention some other areas. Certainly I mentioned boarding out. It's worth noting, though, that in 2015, we spent $55,000 on boarding out. In 2016, we were at $74,000. And right now, we're at $790,000. So a dramatic change from what we've seen since we moved to the new facility. In overtime, as you know, we've taken a little bit of an aggressive strategy. Certainly some departments would tell you, by moving some of their funds. We started the process about 4 years ago by cutting their overtime in half, eliminating a quarter of it from the budget, and taking the other quarter and appropriating it to contingency. They would have to come before you, as you've seen even tonight, and have the conversation about why it's required. We have, in my estimation, not performed well on overtime this year. We have spent to date $988,577.49. We had budgeted $522,057, and we set aside another $148,019. So as you can see, we overperformed in overtime by $318,000. Now, we all know the contributing factors to some of that, but I do want to spend some time this year. We have increased the overtime for contingency by $28,863. It doesn't start to get after the $300,000, but the majority of that was in the jail, who came in $136,000, and you saw that tonight, and helped the sheriff address that issue. What I would like to bring to the board is an understanding annually. You see committee by committee and at board meetings, you see resolutions that modify the budget. I think it would be valuable, and certainly time-consuming, but valuable once we get going with it, for you to see how much you modify by resolution annually. So you see the modified budget, but to know how many times you've modified the budget separate, whether it is because a grant came in, much like you saw with probation tonight, or something unanticipated occurred. I think it's valuable for the board to have knowledge of all the changes they have to make during the year. We're improving the budget process. I think we need to improve the implementation of the budget process. I did want to mention, though, that mileage, as you know, we've implemented the fleet, and we've had to appropriate some funds to acquire the county fleet, which is included. Highway vehicles, as well as throughout the departments, one or two up to 20 vehicles in social services to get after that mileage number. Just in the last 3 years, we've come down from 160. Annually, when we started this in 2009, we were in the neighborhood of 500,000 annually. We've come down 2014, 159,000, 2015, 140,000. And 16, 107,000, and this year we're looking at 109,000. So my goal for 2018 will be to get under 100,000, because we are bringing in vehicles. We are making the board office vehicles, of which there are five available to departments. I think it's about that implementation, making sure we're not paying mileage if a vehicle is available. So it's all about how we use the resources we have available to us. But those are some of the numbers. If you have questions, certainly I will take them or email. Give me a call.
Mr. Rupert.
Just have one question. On your summary page, second line community services, when you compare the quarter of 16 to the fourth quarter of 17, they're drastically different. And after we heard tonight that there has been billing problems in community services, I just wondered what's going on.
So it's not the first time you've heard there's billing issues in community services, but what Jay is beginning to do is actually implement practices that will address it. One of the things we had to pay for in 2017 was a reimbursement that was provided to the county for a number of years called COPS reimbursement. So that number was over $800,000. And until we were able to turn that payment around to the state, of which they charged us interest, we were docked, essentially, the revenue coming into the county. So the departmental operational revenue was impacted by the time, because I wanted to fight the fact that they were paying interest or charging us interest based upon money they gave us that they're now taking back. That wasn't unsuccessful so far. But they docked our revenue until that payment was made in full. So we took a hit there as well. But we did have two-thirds almost all of those funds set aside, anticipating paying it back to the state. So that was one of the hits. As Jay has described to you, the three reasons why the impact on billing and the turnaround is not only from a billing perspective, of which I'll agree we have lean staff, but is also on a clinical side, being able to fulfill what's required to get the reimbursement. So he's putting some changes in place that will attend to that. But I would say if you look at their adopted county cost, they are within budget. And we do anticipate that with IMA coming in, that we'll be able to see a greater reimbursement of approximately just under $700,000 of that 90-day window we spoke to.
You said they docked our revenue.
They did. It's all set. It's done.
Any other questions?
Okay, so I did want to mention that we appreciate rescheduling last week. I'm certain that for some, like Legislator Arquette and I think Legislator Perkins, it created another conflict for them. So we appreciate that you're all busy, but I believe it was the right call to make. Also, we have rescheduled the tour of the Juvenile Detention Center in Albany for tomorrow. We will leave from the jail, the correctional facility, at 8:30 a.m. So that committee will meet there, also be joined by the county attorney and myself for a tour to begin at 1 o'clock. So our hope is that we'll be returning by about 6 or 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. Finalizing, this is in regards to space, finalizing the work in the new suite at the Human Services Center for the Board of Elections. So we expect that they'll be rehomed by mid-February. They will be on the same floor. I'm certain that many of you have been to the Board of Elections. They'll be on the same floor across the hall and down the suite or down the hallway a little bit. The cost for that internal labor and materials being used was almost $34,000. So what we're attempting to do in working with the Board of Elections is seek reimbursement through some of the grant funds that they have available to identify if we can get some reimbursement for that. So we'll keep you posted. The rest would be county cost. What that will mean when the Board of Elections has been relocated to their new suite, we will begin the patching, painting, and prep for public health to occupy the space that Board of Elections is in now. The buildings and ground staff does an outstanding job. We are very fortunate, though we have to be patient because they're spread thin. When we have snow events and certainly ice, their attention is called away. So we're patient with getting the schedule that we can manage. But they do an outstanding job, and if you can, stop over. It looks really nice over there. I would like to request a meeting of the Space Committee to talk about that and a few other issues for February 12th, which is before our next committee meetings, at 4:30 in my office.
4:30.
And this would be Legislators Timmerman, Legislator Leader, and Legislator Paquin. If you can attend, I certainly can be flexible with the schedule if that doesn't work for you. I do just want to give you an update for those of you that didn't join us, the rescheduled legislative work session. We're putting together some of the background, pulling bills associated with action pending in the Assembly and the Senate. But the group that met took an opportunity, and the materials that we reviewed were in your mailboxes tonight, to review the items that we were successful with in 16 and the items we put forward in 17. And then no less than 24 of items to consider for 2018. So I'll go over briefly, and certainly if you have any suggestions, I encourage you to email or bring them up now. The request for increasing CHIPS funding from $250,000 to $500,000 is something we'll move forward with. A concept regarding net neutrality and broadband for everyone in St. Lawrence County, as we've all heard, there was an interest on the governor's part to make sure by 2018 that occurred. So we'd like to make sure our state reps are following up on that. With regard to the speedy trial information provided, we'd like to move forward with that. Also, the resolution you considered this evening regarding the pistol permit granting authority, we'll add that to the agenda. The items that were presented when Ann Smith presented to you earlier this month regarding designation of essential service as well as reimbursement for health insurance are two areas that this group was interested in moving forward. Requesting administrative funding for the septic tank program. Jason's will speak to you briefly, but we do need to decide tonight if in fact we'd like to opt in. But in fact, the interest would be that we would request administrative funding for that. There is none currently, as you heard when he was here before. An age-old discussion about preschool, interest in moving that away from counties and more to BOCES or school districts. Would be an interest, a true 2% for the tax cap or the tax levy limit. The state doesn't live by it, so we're interested in seeing where our 0.67 can be moved to an actual 2%. Not to say we have to spend it, but it makes it much easier to follow than to look at the contrived formula that we have to follow every year. And unfortunately, 2 years ago, ended up having to establish a reserve. As Renee pointed out, this year, we do not have any findings. Also, to look at funding, evaluation, and treatment of heroin and opioid epidemics in correctional facilities. This is something that the local mental hygiene commissioners are pushing forward. One of the challenges we face is with New York State declaring a $4 billion shortfall, our interest in being able to gain any traction where funding is requested is going to be a challenge this year. I don't think it means we should walk away from it, but it's going to be difficult. A unified primary date is also something of interest. And then continue our efforts towards some type of court consolidation that would work in a county the size of ours with the number of courts that we deal with. So that was a full afternoon. But we'll be pulling together some background on that, pulling some bills and some information to you so that we can put forward a resolution for you to approve and for us to take to Albany. We are implementing, as your chairman and vice chairman are working with the new iPads. I appreciate your patience in working through this new technology. We'd like to get you all up to speed and get the bugs worked out so everyone has access at all times to the information. I wanted to follow up on something I mentioned a couple of months ago. In collaboration with Community Services, we will be rolling out mental health first aid for county staff in May, June, and August. So I'll be talking with department heads this week. I think we live in a world now where having some of the skills and being able to anticipate situations are very helpful. This is some, I believe, no-cost training provided by Suicide Prevention Council. But it's a critical issue that needs to be addressed. I think that some folks, by the nature of the work that they do, like law enforcement, might see these offerings more frequently than office staff. But I can tell you, even just working in the courthouse, the number of folks that we see who either are lost or frustrated or just don't really like their day, we could be helpful with them. So that's something that we'll be working on this year. And then finally, last but not least, I have transfer of funds to report to you. So I have five of them tonight. The first one's for the treasurer's office. For December postage for tax advertising in the amount of $260. For community services to pay, as you heard a couple of months ago, we were having some issues with appropriating the phone charges internally. So a few of these deal with paying the final phone bills, $740 for community services, telephone expenses for social services in the amount of $1,000. Office for the Aging for the Cisco invoice for food purchased at meal sites exceeded budget by $4,000. And then for public health, as related to a positive TB case in the county, very expensive treatment in the amount of $800 over what was anticipated for the budget year. Any questions?
All right, seeing none, we will move into old business. Is there any interest in removing the resolution opposing wind farm development and proximity to Fort Drum off the table? Mr. Lightfoot. Second, Mr. Akers. Any discussion? Seeing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Oh, you wanted to?
Discussion.
Well, I asked for discussion and then we started to vote, but you wanted to discuss. Okay, go ahead. Oh, that was to remove it. Thank you. So now we need a formal motion on the resolution itself. So I would ask for a resolution opposing wind farm development in proximity to Fort Drum. Mr. Lightfoot, Mr. Fay, Mr. Akers.
Just like to point out on behalf of Legislator Perkins that this resolution does nothing to prevent or interfere in any way the siting or the locating of any wind farms. This resolution would show our concern with the viability of Fort Drum going forward as these wind farms have been found to have a negative effect on the radar pictures that are fed into Fort Drum Radar Center. which interfere with their ability to maintain control over the airspace over and surrounding Fort Drum. In addition, passage of this resolution would show our support for the recent Jefferson County resolution similar content that was recently passed. So I would ask this board to pass this showing the goodwill that St. Louis County had with our brother system, which is at Florida City, and Jefferson County have, as I said, an active resolution in support of St. Louis.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion.
I would also like to add in the sponsor, please.
Motion passes. Continuing with old business, ask for a resolution adopting proposed local law B, number to be determined for the year 2018, amending local law 2 of 2007, establishing the property tax exemption for Cold War veterans in St. Lawrence County. Mr. Denisha, Mr. Burke, any discussion on this? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. But as for a resolution adopting proposed local law C, number to be determined for the year 2018, amending local law 1 for the year 2017, a local law permitting and regulating all-terrain vehicle operation on certain county roads. Mr. Burke, Ms. LaPierre, any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We now have a discussion under old business on the state septic system replacement program.
Good evening. I think I was here about 3 weeks ago to talk about the state septic program, and at that meeting there was a request for just for a little bit more information on, I guess, who would be impacted or who would be eligible to take advantage of this program. And I did produce a map, I think, that was distributed to everyone that shows about, I think, 2,139 residences that could be eligible for participation in this program. I say could be because they meet the thresholds of being within 250 feet of one of the geographically identified water bodies. That doesn't mean that they are eligible. There may be, you know, their septic may be perfectly fine. They may have issues that are unfixable, or there may be some other restraints. So certainly that number is just sort of the biggest possible number. This number also does not include any small business. That number is a lot harder to just track down. So that's out there for information purposes. I also had a pretty thorough conversation with some with a DEC representative today, just looking for a little bit more information on the program, the concern that we have with regard to the lack of admin money. And they said that they were certainly willing to work with us. They would like, obviously, to see this program be fully funded and distributed as far and wide across the state as it can be. If we do not participate, then the money would go to another county. Makes perfect sense. They're 29 eligible counties or counties that have been identified as those that would be participating. And in my conversation today, excuse me, the representative said that about 7 counties had not yet returned their documents stating that they were interested in participating. With regard to the big issue here, the cost and how to cover the administration, the individual did say that the DEC would be, again, willing to work with us, looking at ways that we could somehow reduce those costs. I'm not sure exactly how that would be possible, whether they'd be flexible in terms of how we would administer, who we would have go out to do the inspections, the assessments, that sort of thing. There still is going to be a cost associated with that, so there still will be some cost that will need to be borne either by the county or by some other through some other grant agency or grant fund that could cover the administration costs of this. We discussed the idea of the mass mailing. I know that was an issue that we brought up, and Mr. Forsyth, you suggested put an ad in the paper. I floated that by him, and he said, yeah, that would work. So, yeah, I don't think we need to incur the expense of mailing something out to everybody. We can do a little bit more of a targeted advertisement of it to get the public interested in it. But I bring that forward just as additional information. I know Ruth mentioned that the deadline is in 2 days' time. If we were to participate, then the document would need to be submitted by the 31st. So I'll look to any other input.
Mr. Ager.
I have not, no. No.
That's why I thought that I saw like a news alert that Senator Kirkham was advocating for
administration funds. That would be great. Yeah. I hadn't, and the DEC representative that I spoke with was aware that there certainly were costs associated with it, but also understood that the majority, I'm assuming, and the majority of the counties that have already signed up for it have a vehicle in place to make it happen. They have a robust public health department that can go out and do these assessments and cover those administrative costs. That's really hard to judge. It depends on the interest level. It depends on the type of septic tanks that or septic systems that would be rehabbed. It was. I think it was about 18%. 18% is what we look for most grants in administrative costs. We had an estimate of between $1,500 and $2,000 per system, which seems high. I understand, but it depends a lot on the location, the size of the system. There's certain reporting requirements. So if you have to go and visit a site that's a mile, that's an hour away, three times, that's 10 hours of labor right there.
So what was the grant?
$225,000 for 1 year, renewable for 5 years.
Right. So looking at a county cost of $20,000, if you don't have any mechanism to cover those administrative costs, right? So that's
potentially.
Right.
Well, I think that the interest would be in potentially looking at opting in and then making a determination. I know NYSAC is pushing for it. If you've heard, you know, some state reps are taking this up to see if that happens in the budget conversation. So what we wouldn't necessarily want to do is exclude ourselves from being able to. So a month from now, they provide admin funds, and we didn't opt in. So my recommendation would be to opt in, make a determination when we get to the point that we're looking at this number to see if there's any resources available.
So we can turn it down.
We can opt in and not expend any funds.
Okay.
So that would be the recommendation.
Mr. Burke.
Yes. Right. We did have that discussion as well with the DEC representative, and he suggested the very same thing, that, you know, get your local code enforcement officers involved. And I think we can do that up to a certain extent. I think that they would be willing to make determinations that, yes, this septic tank has failed, and that would be good enough for the state to say, okay, yeah, that's a legitimate project to move forward with. However, we couldn't rely on the code enforcement officer to go back and do the assessment to make sure you know, to sort of manage the contractor that's doing the work. They would come in at the end to certify that, yes, the system has been repaired, but it's not really within their purview to act sort of like a clerk of the works of a project like this. So that would be, I can see them certainly having an involvement, but there still would be another party that would need to make sure that that the contractor is doing what needs to be done, that the work is being properly carried out. Yes. Yep. That's right. Yep. And the engineered cost is a covered cost. Yes. Absolutely. No.
I'm all for this. My concern is going to be how you prioritize, how you get on the priority list.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably going to be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't worry too much about, I don't really see why. I've done several subject systems engineer, gone to build inspector to come check and make sure you do it.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Unless the state mandates someone else, contracting them to put his name on the line, and then they're going to stamp it. Mm-hmm. So I think that three-part formula would go to the inspector would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my thoughts on it. I think it's a good time to do it. And I mentioned it at my town board meeting.
Right, and that's just right.
I guess first
right, or most severe need, that could be another. There could be different criteria that you could look at to, but that that could all be developed. It's just that takes time and money. So.
Anybody else?
Correct. That is the case, yes. Yeah. Yeah, that won't change until the next year. And potentially. It could change, but it won't change for this year.
Anybody else? All right.
Thank you.
Anybody have an objection with moving forward?
Thank you.
Any additional old business? Any new business? Told we have need for executive session for negotiations, litigation, personnel of a specific nature, and appointments. Do I have a motion to go into executive session? Mr. Burke, second. Fay, Lightfoot, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are in executive session.